10:04 midday with Jamie and Wicket on a Friday. Real quick, your keyword to cash this hour is check, C-H-E-C-K. Check, text the word into 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
Don't forget that keyword because they lose their ever-loving minds.
That would be the voice of Jason Nivens.
Hello!
Afternoons on 98.9 The Rock, who is down the hall for us while Mike Wicket goes off and collects baby gifts from his baby shower in Iowa this weekend.
Let me tell you, as someone who's lived through that, Wicket, yes, dear, and yes, dear are your three best responses to whatever is going on.
I believe his job was to help haul stuff this weekend.
I think I saw that little promo video. They're taking two cars up just in case there's a lot of garbage to haul off. And you will look. I made mention to Lee, his wife, that I've got some things because we have leftover stuff, and I keep meaning to bring it to them. But I think after this weekend, I'll probably find someone a little more needy.
You think they're gonna do pretty well?
Look, Midwest white folks, Midwest baby, they're gonna be so much stuff that they'll never need, that they'll absolutely never use and they'll never need.
Yeah, and this is not the first grandchild on either side, but Lee and Wicket both have sisters that have had kids. So they're going to be collecting stuff probably from the siblings also. But that means they get to get the good stuff now. Like, they don't need the basics. Now they get to collect the good stuff. I think they're registered on, well, I shouldn't say on the air because I don't want people to buy them gifts. But
do tell them on the air.
I don't want people to send stuff.
You know how many times I push that out there? Like, if you want to make a small donation, we have a little baby page set up over
College fund right now. Are you going to go to the baby shower that we're having in the building?
Nah, probably not because no one did anything for me.
Really? That's how you're going to be?
Yeah.
That's really how you're going to be?
Absolutely.
So you're not going to show.
But it's also at like 4:00 and I'm on air.
Don't you play 20 minutes of music at a time?
No, I don't leave it. I don't ever leave my studio when it like, they're like, so like, Steven Tyler was in the building like a couple years back and people were like, come meet Steven Tyler. I was like, I'm on air.
Is that kind of nice because you can use it as an excuse for things you don't want to go take part in?
Absolutely. But when you commit to it, you got to commit to it all the way. So like it could be like
you do it once.
I don't know. Kate Upton's making a holiday tour. Mm-hmm. I'm on air.
Can't do it. There's going to be beer.
Come on.
There's going to be wings. I think we're providing man food.
I don't eat wings. I mean, I occasionally I do. I'll get some a handful of wings from time to time.
You're the only man I know that's ever said that I don't eat wings.
I'm pretty, you know.
You are Mr. Healthy. Yes.
I mean,
you ate a salad last night.
I mowed down crazy on a Wicked salad, two bowls with some apple crisp that my wife made. I also have been in the hillbilly hot tub for about 3 hours.
Let me tell you, you're dressing kind of like things have changed in your life.
Putting away some beers. Now, the overalls today are by design because it's a work day for me. I'm here with you until 2, and then I do my show on The Rock
the
from 3
to
7.
The one they pay
for. Yeah, right. Yeah, Alan! I would like to get some trade out of this, please. Like, just something from downstairs in the business office. I live right by La Bodega, and Jack Stack is close by, same as the Jacobson. Anyway.
We should at least be providing you lunch while you're here.
We've mentioned this before.
And we should get a picture of your look, by the way, because you're all clean-shaven now.
But then I'm also going on 610 Sports tonight to hang out with Bink to do our two guys in a brewery. And the shaving thing, yeah, I had to. Did I tell you this last time? I had to reduce the beard. I had to get rid of the beard for a while. Because pickles, right? So he's 8 months. He's crawling around. He's standing himself up. He gets very proud of himself for that. It's so cute. Funny. But when he'd be laying on the bed and I'd bend down and be like, hey, my little buddy, he'd take both hands and go like this on both sides of my face, grab the beard. Then he started doing a move where he put his foot in my chest and try and rip the beard off me. I'm like, that's a fight move. This is 6 months old. He's already doing fight moves. So as soon as he's able to walk, we're going to get him into some MMA programs because I think
that could be his future.
I don't see him going to college. The biggest thing we're going to try and do is keep him out of jail.
Why don't you see him going to college?
Because he'll be a fighter.
I feel
like he can jump right out of the amateur gates in high school into the pros. Like. He's 8 months and he's probably like 22 pounds, right? And the bug
a lot for 8 months.
The bug is 10 and she's 65 pounds.
Okay, so by comparison, yes, that's a lot.
Yeah, so okay. Yeah.
Well, you produce bigger children, apparently.
I'm a god.
I don't. Yes. All right. Well, I'm liking the overalls.
And then this clean shirt, this is a mother-in-law buy shirt. It's a big red shirt with a giant bear face on it.
Well, then you should definitely take pictures of that and post that online so that she knows you're wearing it.
She'll be so proud. I know, Rhonda, you're so proud.
Speaking of posting pictures online real quick, I would encourage you to take a look at Twitter, Jamie KMBZ, J-A-Y-M-E KMBZ, where I tweeted out a picture that Wicket sent me this morning.
Okay.
That we're having a debate.
Ooh, Krista left her Twitter open.
Uh-oh.
Should I just real quickly go, OMG, y'all.
OMG. You met Krista for the first time this morning.
Y'all, I just met at Niven's. At Niven's.
That's usually Mark Lavoie when he fills in for EJ.
At Niven's.
Leaves his Facebook open over
and,
there.
And he's swell.
Swell. That sounds like a Krista word.
Swell.
So Wicket's...
And then I'll put hashtag hacked. Okay. Should I put XOXO?
If you're going to do that, can you change the password and stuff? Like if you're going to
I don't want to... That's just me.
That's like, going too far.
Yeah,
changing
someone's
that's
password.
That's where you draw the line.
But what do you think? I'll do the Justin Timberlake stare. How about that for the Justin Timberlake? Yeah, there it is.
While you're working on that, take a look at Twitter. So Travis, of course, is on the other side of this compared to everybody else so far. But I would encourage you to look at it. We'll talk about it later. So Wicket's sister is flying here from Michigan, I think, for the baby shower this morning. And he sent me a picture this morning that she took on her flight this morning. I'm not going to tell you about it. I'll let you go look at the picture on Twitter and tell me what you think is wrong with it. Maybe nothing. If you're Travis, perhaps nothing. If you are me, I think we're having personal invasion of space problems there. But are you saying anything about it, or are you just leaving it alone? Jamie KMZ on Twitter. You can go take a look there, and we'll talk about it later.
I know what I'm doing with that. If that was me, I know exactly what I would do with that.
Does it involve a sharp object? Like scissors?
No.
Somebody really would get scissors.
That's a little, I think that can be classified as assault.
I think that would be criminal.
I think what I would do is I would open up the tray and then close the tray to get in my bag, then open it
accidentally.
Again.
Accidentally.
And then, I got to get back in underneath here. I drop something and close the tray again. So it's like,
So passive aggressively, you would attempt to change the behavior. I like that. That's good parenting too. I like the lessons we're learning there.
I'm all about lessons these days with these kids.
And if people like you, so if there's anything on your mind today that you'd like to, feel free. And text line loves you, and they're always happy when you're here. So
hold on, let me read some of these quotes I've acquired over the my time here filming.
Oh, you have a list going?
I do at Niven's page on Facebook on the right there. It says listener. Listener quotes: second-rate radio air talent, obnoxious loudmouth, total jackass. I like that one.
It's blunt.
Time to change the dial.
Oh, we get that all the time.
He needs to chill. Mm. A smug, holier-than-you, divisive bag of D-tips.
Wow.
That's pretty creative,
actually. That took some work.
You sound just like the voice in my head. That's compliment.
How many came from my number?
eight, actually, yes. How about Niven's is a liberal with a spine. He can dish it out and can take it. He's like a fantastic magical unicorn.
Wow.
Yay!
That's pretty magical right there.
That's what it was. I was thinking about this week. I want to know. I want like a real dyed in the wool hardcore conservative, and I want a real I'm screaming from the trees liberal, and I want you two to explain to me what you are, because all I ever see is don't be a liberal like Pelosi. I don't even know what that means, whatever these conservatives are. I mean, I don't know. You got Proud Boys on one end of it, then you've got like my mom who's not on the other end. Like I don't know. I have no idea what you people are, and it confuses me.
If you are one of those two things, and you'd like to text in what you are, feel free.
Can you be a liberal but like blowing things up? Because I do. Can you be a liberal and be pro-cannabis? Or can you be a conservative and be pro-cannabis? Because it makes a lot of money? Because I think that's what I am, Do you think that maybe we should advocate for having healthcare work with people that have drug addictions instead of locking them up? Because that just seems to be the compassionate thing that Jesus would do.
The look on your face right now is freaking me out.
Because I'm making sense.
Because you're getting passionate, which is always entertaining.
It's not even 10:15 yet,
I know.
Folks.
Just getting started.
And I haven't even had a sip of coffee. Let me have a sip real quick.
Well, you do that. Keyword cash, again, this hour is check. C-H-E-C-K, check. You can text it into 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. We also will have a chance later in the show for your chance to win tickets to the Johnson County Home and Remodeling Show coming up. We will be out there a week from today, in fact.
Do they sell paint that's only beige, that thing?
Let me tell you, it's going to be different this year because Wicket...
Oh, they're adding yellow. That's the new color for this season.
Wicket has since bought a house since the last time we did this last year.
Yeah, he moved to the burbs.
He's got a little more skin in the game now. Like, he'll get there. We're not on the air till 10, but he'll be like, no, I need to get there at 8 o'clock and go and scope things out. So it'll be a lot more fun this year.
Look, you guys want some great ideas for your homes, you come to our compound and you see what we've got. All right.
You, I don't know quite how to describe exactly what you have going on.
This Sunday, you're going to experience it.
I guess I am. Yeah, for the first time. Although we need to talk about that later, about what you put on Facebook in order to get people to your house to help you do work.
I know my audience.
You can teach some things. You have some things to teach for sure. All right. Jason Nivens in for Mike Wicket. It's 10:15. Coming up next in this hour, we're going to get into the response to an obituary that was written, sorry to go dark on a Friday, but we'll do it early. There's a woman out of Burlington, Vermont, who died from opioid addiction, and she's young, and her family wrote an obituary that went in the newspaper that is not your typical obituary. It gets very blunt and very honest about what happened to her. In response, a law enforcement official in that area, the Burlington police chief, has reacted to the obituary, and the first line of what he says is, I have a problem with this obituary. So we'll talk about what was written and his response coming up next. We'll get your response as well. 10:16 here on KMBZ. One midday with Jamie and Wicket on KMBZ. Keyword cash this hour is check, C-H-E-C-K. Text it into 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Jason Nivens from 98.9 The Rock is making some new friends today.
Do you ever write check, C-H-E-Q-U-E?
No.
No?
Do you?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes when I'm being fancy, I'm like, I got a check for you.
What is the occasion for you to be fancy? And what does that look like?
Writing a check as opposed to a check.
Is that the extent of it?
Writing a check as opposed to a check. When I'm like, oh, I have a check for you, and it's with the Q-U-E on it. You know, British. You know,
I would
problem.
Be like, what is wrong with him today? What's why is he doing that?
Just keeping you on your toes.
If you'd like to text Nivens, 22980, if you would like to weigh into the show, and 5767798 is the phone number, as we talk about this obituary that was out of Burlington, Vermont. And I'm going to read some of this to you, and the reason we're talking about it in part is because, number one, it's unusual. Also because of the response that it's gotten, particularly from the police chief out of Burlington, Vermont. And here's how the obituary begins. Our beloved Madeline Ellen Linson Meyer died on Sunday, October 7th. While her death was unexpected, Madeline suffered from drug addiction, and for years we feared her addiction would claim her life. We are grateful that when she died, she was safe and was with her family. She was born in 1988. Do the math there. Madeline was a born performer and had a singing voice so beautiful it would stop people on the street. Whether she was on stage in a musical or around the kitchen table with her family, when she shared her voice, she shared her light. She loved to ski and snowboard, swam on the YMCA swim team, and won medals. When she was 16, she moved with her parents from Vermont to Florida to attend a performing arts school. Soon after, she tried OxyContin for the first time at a high school party, and so began a relationship with opiates that would dominate the rest of her life. It is impossible to capture a person in an obituary, and especially someone whose adult life would largely be defined by drug addiction. To some, Maddie was just a junkie. When they saw her addiction, they stopped seeing her. And what a loss for them, because Maddie was hilarious and warm and fearless and resilient. She could and would talk to anyone. And when you were in her company, you wanted to stay. In a system that seems to have hardened itself against addicts and is failing them every day, she befriended and delighted cops, social workers, public defenders, and doctors who advocated for and believed in her until the end. She loved her family and the world, but more than anyone else, she loved her son, Aiden, who was born in 2014. She transformed her life to mother him. After having Aiden, Maddie tried harder and more relentlessly to stay sober than we have ever seen anyone try at anything, but she relapsed and ultimately lost custody of her son, a loss that was unbearable. During the past couple of years especially, her disease brought her to places of incredible darkness, and that darkness compounded on itself as each unspeakable thing that happened to her and each horrible thing she did in the name of her disease exponentially increased her pain and shame. Though we would have paid any ransom to have her back, any price in the world, this disease would not let her go until she was gone. And then, so it gets into, again, this is an obituary that ran in the local newspaper in Burlington, Vermont. And at the very end, it's got several paragraphs that talk about, that basically reaches out to other people suffering from addiction. It says, if you yourself are struggling from addiction, know that every breath is a fresh start. Know that hundreds of thousands of families who have lost someone to this disease are praying and rooting for you. Know that we believe with all of our hearts that you can and will make it. It is never too late. If you are reading this with judgment, educate yourself about this disease because that is what it is. It is not a choice or a weakness, and chances are very good that someone you know is struggling with it, and that person needs and deserves your empathy and support. That's the obituary that ran out of 7daysvt.com. Again, her name is Madeline Linsenmeyer, born in 1988. So the Burlington police chief's name is Brandon Del Pozo, and he put quite a lengthy reaction on his Facebook account. And if you'd like to react to anything in the obituary, a lot of directions that we're going to go on this. Number one, the fact that they used her obituary to paint what I see as kind of two pictures of the same person, light and darkness of the same person. And they use the obituary also to reach out to others that are suffering. And particularly the part that says, basically, you probably know someone who is dealing with this and you don't even realize it.
Right.
So the Burlington police chief, Brandon Del Pozo, started on Facebook, and we'll read some of this. It's quite lengthy. I have a problem with this obituary. My problem is that, and he talks about her, things we've already read you. My problem with it is that it is a much better obituary than the rest of us deserve. Why did it take a grieving relative with a good literary sense to get people to pay attention for a moment and shed a tear when nearly a quarter of a million people have already died in the same way as Maddie as this epidemic grew? Because this obituary has been shared on people.com and everybody's got
it. It went viral. Yeah.
Yeah. Did readers think this was the first time a beautiful, young, beloved mother from a pastoral state got addicted to Oxy and died from the descent it wrought? What about the rest of the victims who weren't as beautiful and lived in downtrodden cities or the Rust Belt? They, too, had mothers who cried for them and blamed themselves. Make no mistake, no matter who you are or what you look like, Maddie's bell tolls for someone close to you and maybe someone you love. Ask the cops and they'll tell you her death was nothing special at all. It happens all the time to people no less loved and needed and human. And he talks about, goes on, so Maddie in death has given us a final gift, thanks to her family's moving tribute to her, the gift of focusing our attention for a moment. And he says, this is what I'm tired of. Arguing with sheriffs about their deputies carrying naloxone at national conferences, arguing with corrections officials at home and about getting all the inmates who need it on medication-assisted treatment early on in their sentences and keeping them on it even after they leave. Getting mocked by reactionaries because I won't arrest desperate people for using non-prescribed addiction treatment meds. We'll read you more of this coming up, but he's getting some criticism and some accolades for responding so strongly.
Well, the criticism, I'm sure, is just is a situation where, like, maybe I'm phrasing it like, here's a spotlight that's being shown and it's being spread around. Here's some other things from the political, the police side of it all that we see that needs to be acknowledged. I'm sure people take with the tone of it. I think if I read the cops from initially from New York City, so
you're right.
That's a New York City tone, like very blunt, very straightforward. It's not necessarily rude, but sometimes honesty can be directness can seem as rudeness. But he is touching on valuable points, you know, in terms of like people that are why. Oh, but this person's on drugs. Let's just lock him up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's more of a public health issue because Big Pharma is winning so well. They're doing so well with their profits, and things are going so good for them, and they're making such wonderful money. And yet, you have overprescription and kickbacks that are happening. This is not anything new, and he is correct. She's not the first person to this befell.
But the obituary sort of makes it. He seems to be pointing out, did you not realize we had a problem before this obituary went viral? So we'll go back through some of this, and we'd love to hear your reaction, 576-7798 or 22980. We're on a Friday, midday with Jamie and Wicked on KMBZ. Jason Nivens from 98.9 The Rock is back. 22980,
hey!
If you'd like to say hi to him today.
So can I say what I told you off air?
about
Marilyn Manson.
We'll get to that later.
Okay.
It'll
so wait till after lunch for that
it
one?
It will for sure distract the audience. All right. So we're going to try to stay on track.
All right.
For now.
Listen, guys, we're going to talk something about Marilyn Manson after lunch. You're going to want to stick around.
The way shows have gone a little bit this week, it's been kind of a weird week. We tend to get really heavy into stuff the first couple hours, and then at noon, things go in a direction we never predicted. Uh-huh. So
yeah,
we'll let that be the direction we didn't predict.
Okay.
As we figure out the appropriate way to say what we need to say
about it. I think you can say it.
I think
you
we
know
need
what?
To
I got, I think I, be I'll, careful. I'll just swap. I'll swap the it's two syllables.
Yeah.
So I'll say the second syllable first.
I think, yeah, we'll
Deal with it.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Yes. All right. We'll get to that later. Keyword to cash this hour is check, C-H-E-C-K, check, texted into 72.
And it's not the British spelling, folks.
Don't
about
confuse
that.
People. It happens very quickly.
I know.
All right. So we're talking about the story, the obituary for a woman named Madeline Linsenmeyer, who was 30 when she died of drug addiction. And her family, in lieu of a regular obituary that would just describe a couple of interests and the surviving family members and memorial service information, was quite blunt in describing a woman with two sides. One as this loving mother. She had a child that was 4 years old, this mother that was a member of performing arts teams and a musical troupe and swam on the YMCA swim team and that everybody loved, but also was battling some demons. And she eventually died from her drug addiction. In response to that, the police chief in the town, Brandon Del Pozo, put a lengthy post onto Facebook basically saying, I deal with this every day. Why did it take an obituary that went viral? It's been picked up all over the place for people to, like, did you not realize basically that we had an opioid addiction problem before this obituary went viral? And he says, you probably know someone that is dealing with drug addiction that you don't even realize.
So, you know, what are we doing in society at large, whether it's in the Kansas City metro area, whether it's in the United States of America? I mean, are these families filing lawsuits against the pharmaceutical companies that their kids are being found with the prescription drugs in?
Or, I believe.
Because you remember there was for a while there, like, let's compare this to smoking, right? Because the epidemic of smoking was, you know, for the longest time. I mean, I have old newspapers because I do art project with them because I'm a weirdo like that. But, you know, there's always advertisements for, like, smoke Chesterfield. Right. They're the best kind for you, you know? And for the longest time, if you ever watched the TV show Mad Men, it was all, you know, sort of pitching that as well. So there's the good run of lawsuits that happened, and then they kind of put like a cap on it, you know, and you're like, now you know the fallout from this. Is that something that's happening? Is that going to happen? I mean, I think it's like we've been talking about this opioid epidemic for a while, from the past presidency to the current presidency,
right,
to different men and women in Congress and the Senate and whatnot. What are we doing? Are things happening to get better? Because to me, it just sounds like it keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, so I'll mention a couple things here in a second. I can tell you one thing that is happening from a legal standpoint and things that people like CVS and Walgreens that we know are doing. So we'll talk about that here in a second. But Eric hung on through the news, and so we want to get to your story. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, good. Good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was listening to you on the radio, and I had one of my best friends in the world. He suffered from addiction for a long time, for 30-something years. We both went into the military together, and that's when he got addicted. And he fought it. He died last year. And then it really upset me on how our government does nothing about it. They prefer to help the drug companies out and make them exempt or put a cap on how much you can sue them for. And we're in a situation where we're not civil no more. We're not civilized to where we can't even own up to a problem. And what's saddening is that now it's brought, because this drug addiction is affecting rural areas and suburbs, but in inner city, crack devastated the
right.
city. And nobody didn't care. They was locking the people up. And it's like they gave them long sentences. And it's sad, you know, where when it affects one group, people don't care. But it affects another group, people want to have sympathy, compassion, empathy. And I said, we're all human beings.
Right. So I think I feel like I understand what you're saying, Eric. Like you're basically it only mattered when it started coming to the suburbs and when it started coming to the farmers in certain rural areas. I think is that what he's saying?
Is there? That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
First of all, we are horribly sorry for your loss, especially as recently as it was. Did you know? You know, at what point did you know what he was dealing with? Because a lot of times what we hear about, particularly with opioids, is that you don't, you know, and the stories point out, you probably know someone who's dealing with this, but you don't know.
I knew about it, and it got to a point he became homeless from it, and I used to give him money and give him food and take him clothes and shoes and stuff, but he got to a point to where even when I gave him money, he would just break out crying because he knew he was going to use it for drugs.
For his fix.
And I told him, could he fight it? Because he needed to eat.
Right.
He was on the streets, he needed to eat, but he would break down crying. This guy is 6'3", 190-something pounds, and it was hard on him.
And if I understand correctly, at the very start of this, you said you guys served in the military together.
Yeah.
So we have, I mean, that, and I think when I, last I heard, and I might be wrong, but in Missouri, I'm on the Missouri side of Kansas City, that we had majority of the homeless people on the streets were vets, were those that had served in the military. So not only are they battling the demons that come from being at war or being in service, but then on top of that, you've got, thanks for your service. Good luck out there. Yeah. I mean, I didn't serve.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, thanks. I personally chose. Like, cause I was a kid. You know, like a lot of kids in senior high school. I was like, do I want to serve? And I chose not to. Because I didn't. I thought to myself, and call me a sissy, whatever. I don't care. But I thought, man, I don't know if I could actually go off to war realistically.
Yeah.
And I looked at the what would be the farthest ends of this. Like, yeah, not really something I want to do. So
right.
you're giving an OMG look over there. You're all right?
There may be some breaking news that we'll get to here
okay. In
a bit, but I want to make sure I want to check into it before we get there, but it just caught my attention. In answer to your earlier question about what we feel like we're doing about it, and if you feel like we're not doing enough, I mean, this is, so sometimes we have conversations off the air about things that we are talking too much about or not talking enough about, you know, bullying comes up a lot. There are just stories that tend to trend quite a bit. And opioid cases are one of them, you know, and I don't think it took Madeline Linsenmeyer dying at the age of 30, leaving behind a very cute 4-year-old, for people to realize that this is a face of opioid addiction.
Right.
But because we talk about it all the time. Now, maybe if it doesn't affect you or your family, you don't pay a lot of attention to it. But a couple things that, and I, for better or worse, I don't know if these are effective ways of going about it, but there are various branches of fault, and it depends on where you want to go. One is governments, and I can't remember if it's city or state. Governments are getting together and suing pharmaceutical companies for not being honest about the addictive properties
right.
of opioids.
Right.
You know, not being honest with doctors and not being honest with patients about those addictive properties. And the other things that we have going on are that major pharmacies like the CVS's and the Walgreens of the world are having their pharmacists take steps to only give prescriptions for certain amounts of time.
Right.
So that, and regardless of what the doctor describes, we've had that conversation a lot. In fact, I learned a lot in that conversation about what pharmacists have power to do. They would say, no, I know your doctor is going to give you this, but we're only going to let you have this amount before you have to come back.
Right.
So that you can only take so much at a time.
Right.
All right. It's 10:43. Randy, we'll get to your call here coming up next. It's 10:43 on KMBZ. On KMBZ, we'll have a new word in the Keyword to Cash coming up about 10 minutes from right now. Mike Wickett's off today. So Jason Nivens from 98.9 The Rock
Hola.
Is here.
I'm just going to go ahead and as we're talking about addiction and whether it's a disease or it's a personal choice and all that. So there's
the first place the conversation goes.
There's a few people that are like, I don't even look at them as they're human anymore. Their brains are altered. It's in this world, you have choice. It's a choice, not a disease. I'm going to have to agree to disagree with you on that one there because there's been countless studies that have proven it. I've also witnessed it firsthand with some very close people around me that, and I'm not talking about like the guy that likes to roll up a joint and have that after work or, you know, have a couple of beers with his pals. I'm talking about the person who starts losing everything in their life because they can't get away from that fix. Addiction is, you think that person wants to be addicted to crack? Right. You think that person wants to be addicted to shooting up heroin? You think that person wants to be addicted to popping pills? I mean, do me a favor. Come down off your high horse. Get down to the level playing field where we can look across each other, because the smugness of that statement to me just proves that you probably are a bit of a sociopath, and I don't have time for that. So it is definitely not a choice. It is definitely a disease. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Especially, let's get to Randy's call, and we're taking your calls here for those that missed it. The obituary that was written about a 30-year-old woman out of Burlington, Vermont, named Madeline Linson Meyer, her family wrote a very lengthy, very brutally honest obituary because she died from opioid addiction. She first was exposed to it at the age of 16. She eventually had a child who is now without a mother. And in response to that, the Burlington police chief basically wrote a Facebook post that said, what, you think she's the first person? Did you not know we had an opioid epidemic before that? Randy hung on through the break, though. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Jamie. I've talked to you about this before, and I think that things are getting done, but I don't think it's on a government level. I think it's on a local level. But I think, is there enough being done? Absolutely not. And here's the deal. I take opioids for chronic back pain. Now, and when I lived in Missouri, I could get as many as I wanted. All I had to do was tell them. And one time I was taking 4 oxycodone a day. Now, here in Kansas, that's changed because the medical facility that I go to, they make you sign a contract, okay? And in that contract, they can test you at any time while you're on it. And if you have more in your system that is required by the prescription, you can't get it. And they block every facility, Walgreens, CVS, you name it. They will not give you no more. So, yes, it has changed from me moving from Missouri to Kansas, but it's not a government level, and that's the problem. It's local level, and I think there's a whole lot more that needs to be done.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Randy. We appreciate it. Let's get one more call on here. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. A friend of mine explained heroin to me one time because I asked him about it. I said, what is so attractive about it? And he said, imagine love, the most warmest feeling you've ever felt in your life. Love, you know, just absolutely just adore it. He goes, take it times 100. Put it into a liquid and put it in your hand for $20.
Yeah. Everybody knows about the perils of it, but seems it's epidemic. But see, I'm also hearing, though, because of the opioid epidemic, now we're getting the heroin epidemic coming back because people can't get the opioids like they need to because, as Randy pointed out, places like CVS and Walgreens and whatnot are limiting how much they're rolling out. So now people are going to the black market for, you know, some heroin to shoot up. And it's like, okay, yeah. This is where we are.
All right, we'll come back to the conversation a little bit later in the show if you wanted to get in on that. We'll have another chance at the keyword to cash here coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to move on and talk about something that we have been able to see now from multiple media sources, and the newsroom will have more on this coming up at the top of the hour. But there are multiple media reports this morning, totally shifting gears here, that Kansas City Councilman and candidate for mayor Quentin Lucas was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence in downtown Lawrence. That's according to jail records. KCTV5's got it, and there are court records indicating that would be the case. He apparently was booked into the Douglas County Jail early this morning near 8th and New Hampshire Streets and released on a personal recognizance bond and is set to appear in municipal court in November. We have 9 candidates for Kansas City mayor. For those that have kind of missed, let me give you the brief history here as we talk about, I think the obvious question then is, are we down to 8 then? Does he have to get out of the race for mayor? For those that missed how we got here, so Jason Kander had gotten into the race. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, maybe I shouldn't have been, but I didn't realize that he had his sights at the time set on being mayor of Kansas City. And when he did that, Jolie Justice, who was considered one of the front runners for mayor, got out of the race. Basically because they attract maybe some of the same voter base, and she decided to give her support to him. He recently came out and said, I'm dealing with PTSD as a result of my time serving in the military. and needed to give his full attention to that and decided to get out of the race for Kansas City mayor. With that, Jolie Justice got back in. Mm-hmm. And that left us what seemingly, and you can argue with me if you want, we can totally have the conversation, but in my mind, that left us with three front runners. Jolie Justice, Quentin Lucas, and Jermaine Reed. And we've got Scott Wagner, and we've got a couple other names in the race, but it seemed like...
Scott Taylor, Rita Barry, Phil Glenn, Alyssa Kennedy? Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? And did I mention Steve Miller? I thought he'd be out touring.
Hey!
Wow.
Come on! That was good.
Yeah, it was very good.
Thank you.
So... But we had basically three front runners then. So let me ask you this. And feel free to weigh in 229-80 or 576-7798 if you'd like. Does a DUI, should that exclude you from running for mayor and potentially becoming mayor?
I think this time around you gotta step back because it becomes a distraction. I mean, you know, obviously in Trump's America things have changed tremendously. I mean, you can get a round of ovations because the president celebrates the fact you body slammed a reporter last year.
We definitely have a bit of a different bar set.
Yeah, so, you know, one could be like, hey, this is great press, you know, and whatever they write about. As long as, you know, P.T. Barnum, as long as, I don't care what you say about me, as long as you spell my name right. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at where we are as, you know, Kansas City, Missouri, where we are in terms of what's gone on and the development and the growth, and, you know, I know in the East Crossroads, they just signed off on another new development, I believe on Oak Street, if I'm not mistaken. So you're having another couple hundred apartments going in and all of this. And to make this, you know, as Mayor James has said many times, a world-class city, I feel like Lucas could step back, you know. I mean, look, he's a young cat, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
34.
He's 34. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no reason why he couldn't look at it. You know, what is it? What's a mayor term? 8 years? 6 years?
I believe. Is five it four?
Years? I
to be honest, I don't know.
I know. It's right. Like,
why don't I know what that is?
You would think, Mark? That, like, us being, you know, responsible reporters.
Hey, Mark, do you know?
I believe it's two. You're allowed two four-year terms.
Okay.
You limit out. Yeah.
So, I mean, still, let's say the next person locks in 2 4-year terms. That only puts them at, what, 42?
Right.
I mean,
plenty of time.
You know, I'm 41. Look at me.
Huh? And look at you.
I'm a spring chicken. Look at me moving along here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.